I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, and knowing that you are in our midst. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to understand the words we'll be hearing tonight. Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you might, Lord, build the faith that you've given to us and allow us to be faithful stewards of your grace, and that we might be truly the light you've called us to be. Bless each one, Lord, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "When It Comes to Trials and Temptations, God is Faithful." When it comes to trials and temptations, God is faithful. Do you believe that tonight? So if God is faithful and we're failing, and that happens, doesn't it? It happens. We're just being honest. And the Lord knows it happens. What's the problem? Is the problem with God's faithfulness or with our faith in God's faithfulness? Amen? So sometimes what happens is we get our eyes off the ball, so to speak. We get our eyes off the Lord, and we start to looking at what we think we should be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing, and we forget that God has already given us the victory in Him, and we thank the Lord for that. There is victory in Jesus, and we want to consider a couple of things tonight concerning our relationship with the Lord that He wants to do. Now, I want to intertwine and remind you that the word faith and trust are interchangeable. They're the same word. We say our faith in the Lord. We want to say our trust in the Lord. And so God is wanting you and I, from this point forward, forget about everything in the past, all right? In the regards of, we can't do anything with it, right? We can look back. Some of the things in the past we want to remember, like the day of our salvation, amen? We don't want to ever forget that, and all the victory that God has ever given to us in the past, but the failures and the things that we cannot do anything about, the only reason why we would ever look to those things is to realize that in our strength, we can't do anything. We need the Lord. But the Lord is wanting listen, I'm preaching this message to you, but I want you to know I'm also preaching this message to me. I really am, all right? God is wanting us to walk out on the water, to do the impossible that only God can enable us to do for His honor and glory, right? And so we want to consider that, because if we look to ourselves or if we look to our inabilities, all of a sudden we got our eyes off the Lord and we're looking at the storm, we're going to sink. But the moment we cry out for help, just in case you start sinking, God is still faithful. Even if you get your eyes off the ball, God is still faithful. You call out to Him, and guess what He'll do? He'll pull you up out of the water, won't He? And that's a good thing. So I want you to just look at three thoughts this evening. We may not get to all of them. We might. But here it is. Ready? Spiritual meat and spiritual drink. We're going to look at that. Overthrown in the wilderness. And how are you standing? How are you standing? How are we standing? And so when we consider spiritual meat and spiritual drink, do you remember the Lord said that I am the bread and I am truly the flesh to eat? He wasn't speaking physically. He was talking about the grace and the power of God. He was talking about abiding in the Lord that enables us to be refreshed and nourished, spiritually speaking. And of course, most of the crowd took him literally and couldn't walk with him anymore. But the disciples, when the Lord asked them, "Are you also going to leave?" Remember what they said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." What did they mean by that? You make the difference in my life. You've given me a purpose. You've given me a hope, an eternal hope that I can get. And nowhere else. The world will never give it to us because it doesn't have it. Only God has that. So consider this with me in verse 1. And notice this spiritual meat and this spiritual drink. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now he's talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt. They're being released now. God has delivered them. He's delivering them. Egypt is a picture of what? All right, let's try that again. Egypt is a picture of what? Egypt is a picture of the world, right? And so God is bringing them out of the world. By the way, God has brought, through salvation, has delivered us from the world as well. And so, notice this. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. All passed through the sea. Verse 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea when they went through it. Notice this, verse 3, and did all eat that same spiritual meat. This is Paul saying it. Not only that, but verse 4, and did all drink that same spiritual drink. Well, what is that? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who? That rock was Christ. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. If there's a misunderstanding on our understanding, it's on our part, not on what the Lord was saying. And so here it is, God is allowing us to understand that if we are, listen, in order to be successful, God has not called us out of the world. Well, he's called us out of the world, but he's told us to go into all the world, hasn't he? Right? And then he says, I'm the light of the world. And then he says, you're the light of the world because you're in me. And so he says, go into all the what? So God, listen, God's not delivered us from the world, but he sends us into the world that we might have the light of Christ. But if we're not shining the light of Christ, we're going to be overwhelmed by the world. And what we're talking about tonight is the world system. What it thinks life is all about. What the world thinks life is all about is not what God is saying life is all about. What the world thinks life is about is just the next achievement, the next attainment, if you will. But then those things are temporal if they're not eternal and they're passing away. And those things never bring true fulfillment and true satisfaction. Because if they did, listen, if the things of this world could bring satisfaction in your life, then you would not strive for the next thing. Listen, Bill Gates, he would stop working. He would just quit. He wouldn't want to move Microsoft forward anymore. He would just step away from it and said, I've had enough. I've reached my goal. No, he's still out there pushing, isn't he? Right? And all these other people that are doing things, those things will never bring it. They'll get there and then all of a sudden, you know what they're going to find out? I got to keep going. That's not it. I got to keep going. That's not it. The world will never satisfy us like the Lord wants to. All right, and there's satisfaction in him. But notice what he says here as we consider that the Lord is spiritual meat and spiritual drink, and we want to know what this understanding is or what this idea is being overthrown in the wilderness, because God is bringing them out and not wanting them. Remember where they wanted to go when they were having some difficulties. They said, oh, that we would be back in Egypt. Remember what Egypt was? Bondage. Slavery. They didn't really mean that. They were not eating of that meat and drinking of that drink that brings life to them. And so the things of the Spirit became very difficult. Because in our own strength, without the nourishment, without the power of God in us, we can't do it. And it's going to be frustrating. So notice verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples that to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, let's consider what it means to be overthrown in the wilderness, because God's intent was that we would have victory in the world, because God has given us victory and faith is our victory that overcomes the what? Isn't that amazing? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and that faith is in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the whole thing. This message will mean absolutely nothing and do absolutely nothing if you don't approach it from the perspective of, you know what, I want to see God bring me victory. I'm willing to say, okay, Lord, I've heard your word. Now I want to prove your word.
I want to see it in action. That's not insulting to the Lord at all. In fact, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have, to say, okay, Lord, I see it in your word. I want you to perform that in my life. So let's consider what being overthrown in the wilderness means. Again, verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters. Don't have things in front of God. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. That's a lot of people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Do you remember that? Can God take care of us out here? I don't think God can do that, do you? And that's where they were at. And so they tempted Christ in the wilderness, and then they were destroyed of the serpents. And then notice what he says here. He says, neither, verse 10, murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So in other words, we're to look at these things, the idolatry, setting up other things over God. Listen, the world... Do you know that you and I are a finger in the eye of Satan as the church of God? Do you know we are an irritant to him? I also want you to know this. Equally, he is an irritant to us. Because we're like, we don't mix, right? Now, here's what the devil tries to do. In case you don't know, he has lost us, eternally speaking, if we've trusted the Lord as our Savior. So what he's going to try to do, now forever, right? We will never come under the condemnation of our sin because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all our transgressions, past, present, and future. That's just the way it is. Praise God, that's just the way it is. I know the natural man doesn't understand that, but that's really the way it is. We've been redeemed, and we praise God for that. But now the devil is going to try to get us to get into the world system because we're powerless there. We're supposed to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it, right? In other words, we're not supposed to be driven like the world is driven. We're supposed to be driven by the Spirit of God. And so it's important that we don't get caught up because we'll be worried about what the world is worried about. And that's why I ask you every now and then, how much would you pay for all of the politics of 2022? How much is it worth to you? And I would dare say I wouldn't even give a penny for it. Right? How much has it helped your and improved your life? How about 2021? How about 2020? And by the way, 2023 is not going to help you either, but the Lord will help us, right? And so we want to ask the Lord the way of victory in the world. Lord, I need you to show me how to... Listen, I'm saying this to George Janshall. Lord, I need you. Listen, if I don't have you, I will fail. I know that. How do I know that? Because I've failed before. And I know exactly that I'm not walking in the power and the strength of the Lord. So here it is. Listen, I want you to think about this. God wants us to touch him. And by the way, listen, so that's a work of faith. Do you remember that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years? Do you remember that woman? And there was a throng, they said. I mean, there was a press of people that were there. Listen, do you think the Lord was being bumped into with all those people? Do you think other people were touching him at that time? And by the way, there was one woman that touched him, and he knew it. And he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter looked at him like he was out of his mind to ask that kind of a question because of all the people. But listen, the truth is that the Lord took notice of one person that touched him and virtue went out of him. Listen, we are in the world, but we're not of it. And there is a commotion that is taking place. In the midst of that commotion, God wants us to touch him. And that he might give us what we stand in need of to bring him honor and glory. We can't do it without him. And so we have to likewise be focused on calling upon the Lord to show us what he wants to reveal to us, and he will give us his attention. He knows when, listen, he knows when we're really after him in the midst of a crowd, in the midst of the whole world. He knows those that really want to hear from him. He knows those that are really determined to be used by the power of God and to bring glory to God. He knows them. And all we have to do is a three-letter word, ask. That's it. We just have to ask him. We can call that prayer, can't we? Lord, I need you. Lord, but listen, don't just, Lord, do something in my life. No, Lord, here's what you said. You said that you have delivered me from my, you, and you are delivering me from my sin, right? But also that you've also given me victory over the world, that I won't get swept up by the things of the world, but that I might stand on the rock. So ready? Everybody, listen, when the Lord was in the garden, you remember? And let's see, you got one that betrayed the Lord. You got another one lost his temper and hacked off an ear. I'd say mayhem was taking place, wouldn't you, amongst the disciples? And was the Lord in the world? Yes. Was he of the world? No. And there he was. Is he our example? And all mayhem was breaking loose. Do you think the Lord was unnerved? He said to them, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus, I believe, of Nazareth." And he said, what? "I am he." What happened to them? They all fell back. He was unmovable in the world. That is the same grace that God wants to place in our lives so that the world will not move us and we won't get shook up about things that we don't even have control about anyway. That's what God is wanting to do in your life and mine, if we'll believe and trust that he will do it and ask him for it. By the way, I want you to know something. Listen, and we'll finish on this thought. The devil knows his enemy. The devil knows his enemy. And I want to remind you of something, okay? And by the way, the enemy also knows who's walking and serving God in the power of God. And he also knows those who aren't. And I want to illustrate that like this. Well, let me do this, and we're going to finish. How are we standing? How are we standing? This is the last thought. And in fact, let me have you turn over there just for a moment. Go over to the book of James, if you will, just for a moment, chapter 2. I want you to see this. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 17. Remember, that word faith is interchangeable with what other word? Let's try that again. Faith is interchangeable with what other word? Trust. Okay, so do you trust God? Can you trust God? Should you trust God? All right, let's trust the Lord. Ready? Verse 17 of James chapter 2. Even so, faith, trust, because otherwise it becomes mystical to us for some strange reason. We trust the Lord. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, listen, trusting in the Lord, when we put our trust in the Lord, he does something. Is that not true? See, we think when we put our trust in the Lord, we need to do something for him. When you trusted Christ for salvation, did Jesus save you or did you save yourself? The Lord did a work. When you trust him for something, who's doing the something? It's always God. It's always God. So if we have faith in him, then there ought to be something. Listen, James is saying if we're really trusting him, something is accompanying our trust, our faith. If it's not, it's dead. You better bring it to the Lord and say, "Quicken it, Lord, make it alive." All right, watch this. Or listen, it's just a horrible existence to be a believer and not see the power of God. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, "Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." This is James saying, I want you to know something. We're not just whistling Dixie here, okay? We are watching God working in our lives. Now listen, look how he equates this. You may have never seen this before. So he's saying, listen, the right kind of faith produces, God will produce work. Now watch this, ready? Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. Listen to this. The devils also believe and tremble. Wow. And they don't like it, but they tremble. They believe in God, and they fear God. All right? Now, with that thought, he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's, he's speaking to us. Don't have a dead faith. Now, remember what we talked about? The devil knows his enemy. And listen, the church is the enemy against the kingdom of darkness. The church has been given the marching orders. Listen, who's the church? Oh, you mean it's not just the pastor? It's not the Sunday school teacher? You're the church? Let me try that again. You're the church? The marching orders are, go ye into the world. Go into the world how? With the power of God. And the devil knows the enemy. Now watch this. Back up with me to the book of Acts. Just for a moment. Acts chapter 19. I want you to see this and understand that the devil knows and the demons know who to fear. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Acts 19:11. Listen to this. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, a saint of God. Listen, who wrought the miracles? Oh, it wasn't Paul? No, it wasn't. But he used Paul, didn't he? Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Has Paul preached a couple times about the importance of God's people being filled with the Holy Spirit? All right, now watch this. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Evil spirits, that's the kingdom of darkness. And so they were fleeing. I mean, my goodness, Paul was so victorious over the world. Do you think Paul was influenced by anything that the world could offer him? Paul, do you know, if you just stop doing this and you just work at this job 8 times, do you know what you can have in your 401k? Do you know what kind of retirement plan you could have if you just do this? You think he was interested in any of that? And I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but they're of the world system. I'm not saying retirement is wrong, because remember, listen, and I'm not saying secular work is wrong, because remember, we have to be in the world to shine the light of Christ. I'm not saying go get on top of a hill and be a hermit. God's not saying that. But we've got to have the victory of God over the world that we might be able to shine the light of Christ into the dark kingdom of Satan. And look what happens here. Look at verse 13. Then, remember, the evil spirits are gone out. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hey, we can do that. Saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They were specific, weren't they? The problem was they didn't have the right relationship with God. And there were 7 sons of one Siva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so, in case you wondered their credentials. And the evil spirit answered and said, hey, listen, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Do you think the enemy knows their enemy? Do you think the demons know the ones that they're fearful of because the power of God is on them and the power of God calls them out and they've got to go? And the evil spirit answered, verse 15, and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed, listen to this, showed their deeds because of what Paul was doing and how it's being done and what happened to these men. Many of them also, listen to this, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Do you know what those people said? Not up until this point. They took the world and its system and its trash, and they could have sold it. Did you see the value of it? Did they care about that? No. See, they said, we'll give it all to the Lord. Where is our trust? Where is our commitment? Where does our loyalty lie? See, God is saying, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for the church to do business with me. And yes, we are saved by the grace of God. But God has commissioned us to go into the world to shine His light. And the way that we see that light is in our own lives. And even in the little things, knowing that the Spirit of God is in us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect and we don't have flaws. But that does mean that we are seeing the work of God taking place in our life to one degree or another. And then we're asking God, oh Lord, do that again. We're going to have some praise. We're going to have times of worship where we will have a testimony of what God is doing in our lives and giving us victory over the world, that we might throw down the kingdom of darkness. Do you think those demons, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, and do you think they feared Paul? Absolutely. Why did they fear Paul? I'm sorry? Has God given you and I His power? He has, to be stewards of it. And God says, just call on me. Listen, and we're done. Just call on me. This is what the Lord says. And I will answer thee. Isn't that what Jeremiah 33:3 says? And I will answer thee. Listen to this. Listen, and show thee. I'm saying it to you, but I'm taking it into me. He wants to show me. He wants to show you, but He wants to show me. And I hope you feel that way about it to yourself. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You can never get to the end of what God wants to show us. So tonight's an opportunity to say, God, I'm going to call on you to fulfill your will in my life. Listen. The opportunities of yesterday are gone. The opportunities of tomorrow are not here. The only opportunity we have to do anything for Jesus, our Savior, is right now. And all He said you have to do is call on Him to do it. Let's call on Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word, the understanding and the wisdom that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, we praise You and thank You for that. And Lord, we ask that You would do a work in our hearts and our minds that will follow us for the rest of our lives, Lord, that we might be reminded every day and every moment of every day that all You've asked us to do is to call on You, and You've promised to answer and to show us great and mighty things. May we be about the business, Lord, of calling on You to fulfill Your will in our lives, that the kingdom of darkness may be thrown down, and Your kingdom, Lord, would be honored and glorified by the light that You would shine through our lives and the souls that would be saved. Bless the rest of the time as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give You all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.